Many wonderful word pictures are used to set out in the Scriptures the beauty and the glory of our Redeemer. For example, he is referred to as the rock. The rock exhibits his immutability, his stability and strength. The Lord, we know from John chapter 15, is the vine, the true vine. And there's the thought there of his fruitfulness. He is also referred to as the lily, and that would speak to us of his beauty and his purity. We know furthermore that he is the pearl of great price. He is the fountain of living waters. He is the bright and the morning star, the true light, the light of this world. Malachi clearly points to the Lord in this second verse, referring to him as the Son of Righteousness. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he picked up on the language of our text when in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 9, he has to say, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Oh, the Lord came into this world to give light to we who sat in the dark night of our sin. Man, in his space exploration, he has reached the moon. He has walked on its surface. He has been to Mars. The sun, the great center of the solar system, with its diameter of almost 900,000 miles, it could easily contain this earth a million times over. The sun, it's a fitting metaphor of the one who presents himself to us here in this second verse. What striking comparisons there are between the sun, the natural one, and the Son of God, the Son of the right hand of the Father. Now we can say, first of all, that the sun has an enlightening virtue. It is described in Genesis 1 and verse 16 as the greater light to rule the day. Clouds, night and darkness, they vanish before the bright rays of the sun. It's the presence of the sun that gives us daytime, daylight. The sun is the great luminary that God has appointed to carry light around the world. And oh, how the Lord Jesus has enlightened you and I. With the man born blind in John 9 and verse 25, our testimony is this: "Whereas I was blind, now I see." The Lord made the exclusive claim in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Lord is the one who is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13, the scriptures speak of us being made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13 says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. As Charles Wesley put it, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. We who have been enlightened, we are to let our light shine. We are to be lights in this dark world of sin. Oh, may our light not be under a bushel, but may it shine brightly on the path of those that we meet in the course of our daily living. So the sun in the sky has an enlightening virtue. But we can also say that the sun has a warming virtue. The family pet, whether it be a dog or a cat, it has enough gray matter to lie down in the spot where the rays of the sun are shining through. It knows something about the warmth that the sun generates. Speaking of the sun, in Psalm 19 and the verse 6, David can say, Psalm 19 and verse 6, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. There's nothing hid from the heat, the warmth of the sun. Spiritually speaking, our hearts are inclined to coldness, to lukewarmness. We think of Cleopas and his friend as they journeyed from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were in such a condition of coldness. Their hearts were in their boots. They were downcast. They were crestfallen. They had no grasp of the great truth of our Lord's resurrection. And as a consequence, their countenance was illustrated by the fact that their heart state was illustrated by their countenance. They were sad. And the Lord saw sadness written over their faces. What happened when the Son of Righteousness drew near, when the Lord drew alongside? In Luke chapter 24 and the verse 32, they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, how their hearts were warmed when the Lord went with them, when the Lord drew near to their side. We know that even at the high priest's fire, Peter grew cold when the beams of Christ were withdrawn. But when the Lord lifted up the light of his countenance on Peter, his soul, his spirit was revived. He could say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. John the Baptist, he could state in Matthew 3 and verse 11 of the Lord, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The Lord is the one who brings spiritual renewal and warmth to these hearts of ours. What happened when the psalmist David meditated on the things of the Lord? In Psalm 39 and verse 3, he can say to us, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned." Oh, while he meditated on the Lord, on his precious word, on the things concerning his Savior, his heart was hot within him. Oh, the Lord is that quickening spirit, and may we know the constant warming, renewing, reviving of our hearts, even as we commune with the Lord. And then, furthermore, the Son has a comforting virtue. Job in chapter 30 and verse 28, he says, "I went mourning without the Son." What a dreadful experience it was for Job to be without the sun, its rays. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 7 explains, "It is a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun." A ray of sunshine on an otherwise drab day. How comforting it is. There are those who live in areas of this world where there is little sunshine, and they are said to suffer from SAD. SAD. They have a sad surrounding. But SAD stands, I am told, for seasonal affective disorder. They live in the dark for months, and they have this disorder. The Sun of Righteousness is the first inlet of comfort to the soul. What troubled souls we were. Doesn't the Bible describe the wicked, the ungodly, like the troubled sea? The sea is always in commotion. It's very, very seldom it's a flat calm. It's in commotion. And that's how it was with us. We were comfortless in our sin. But the Lord is our chief joy. He has restored our souls. He has brought us from hopelessness to the ground of all blessed assurance and peace with God. Noah, when he was born, his father gave him his name. And it was given to him for a reason, a meaning in his name. There in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 29, Lamech, he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands." He had this name, spelling comfort. The margin says rest or comfort. That's the meaning of Noah. It was a significant name. And the Lord is the true Noah. He is the great comforter of his people amid all the griefs and the trials and the sorrows of this world. He knows how to comfort us in all our tribulation. The Lord alone can truly bind up the broken heart. His consolations are not small, but great. And the prophet Isaiah, in the wonderful 53rd chapter in verse 4, he could state, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And he still does. He still enters in with us. He's still the sympathizing Savior. Also, the Son has a healing virtue. It boosts vitamin D. And apparently, vitamin D is good for the strengthening of your bones. And when you reach my time of day, you need to be out in the sunshine and get those bones straightened up or strengthened up. How seriously our health would be impaired if there was no sun. Someone has said the world would be a hospital if the sun was absent. When you have had the common flu and you were aching all over your body, the gloomy, damp atmosphere could provide no relief to your physical misery. But when the sun shone through the clouds and you pulled your chair up to the window and its warm rays came floating through, they brought healing. They brought amending, a renewing to your body. There's a healing virtue about the sun. And our text here in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, it goes on to speak of the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. And by the Lord's stripes, we have been healed. He has healed our souls' diseases. He has poured in the oil and the wine. He has made a potent to heal our bleeding sin wounds. The touch of the nail-pierced hand has made us every whit whole. We can add that the Son has a softening virtue. Though it hardens the clay, it softens the wax. The hot beams of the sun, it melts the ice. It melts the snow. I remember what is commonly referred to in the year 1963 as the big snow. And where I come from, it's rather remote and hilly. And we had the big snow. There was plenty of it. I can still remember. We were off school for about 3 weeks, for nothing came up or down our way, our road. It was up to the top of the hedges, and then great drifts, amazing drifts. I wondered, when will it all be gone? But the sun dealt with all of that. The sun melted the snow. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 21 speaks of the sun melting the manna. And our hearts, they were as adamant stones. We think of how Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 to those 3,000 people. And among them, there were those listening to the gospel, and they actually with their hands had put the Lord of glory. They transfixed him. They nailed him to the cross. And Peter was preaching to them. And what effect had the preaching of the gospel even on those who had nailed the Lord to the tree? Acts 2 and verse 37 tells us when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Even those who put the Lord to the ignominious death of the tree, they were pricked in their hearts. With brokenness, they cried out, "What shall we do?" There was a softening power in the glorious gospel. Think of the jailer in Acts 16. He was that rough, hardened man. He had drawn blood from the backs of Paul and Silas. But when the Son of Righteousness dealt with him, oh, there was a softening. There was a breaking up of the great depth of his wickedness. And he cried, "What must I do to be saved?" The most stiff-necked sinner in Newton Ards, in our families, can be broken and can be brought to tears of repentance. The gospel of the Son of God, it has a softening effect. It can strike the stoutest sinner through and start the cry, "What must I do?" Also, the Son has a growing virtue. It draws the sap from the root into the branches and out into the buds, the blossoms, and the fruit. Moses was pronouncing blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 33, pronouncing blessing on the 12 tribes. And he came to Joseph in verse 13. "And of Joseph he said, 'Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun.'" The precious fruits brought forth by the sun. The soil may be of the finest quality. The skill of the gardener may be unquestioned. But without the sun, nothing happens in the field of nature. The sun that ripened Isaac's corn ripens ours. And all the fruits of righteousness are produced in our hearts by the Son of God. All our spiritual growth is attributed to the heavenly husbandman. Our text speaks of God's people growing up as calves of the stall. What were the calves in the stall for? They were there to be fed, to be well fed. And all our spiritual nourishment is drawn from the Lord. He's our meat and drink. May we be constantly growing up in him. May our lives be taking on a new spiritual stature as we sup with him day by day. And then, finally, the Son has an elevating virtue. By the heat and the power of it, plants are lifted up from the earth, which would otherwise lie there, lifeless and forlorn. Take the common dandelion as an example. As the sun goes down, it folds itself away. When the sun comes out the next day, it lifts up its head and all its color is displayed. And what drawing power the Lord has. If he had not drawn us to himself, we would have remained in our sins. In the words of John 12 and verse 32, the Lord Jesus could say, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The cross, Christ and him crucified, it drew us irresistibly. The bride, in the words of Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 4, she said, draw me. And then she added, we will run after thee. Draw me, personal, singular, and then we will run after thee, plural. Draw me, and then I will not only run myself, but I will bring others with me. When Philip was drawn to the Lord, he drew another with him, Nathanael. Our hearts, oh, may they be lifted up in the ways of the Lord, set on things above. It was Paul's prayer for those believers in Colossae, in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Oh, may our hearts be drawn nearer, nearer, still nearer to the Savior, to heavenly, to spiritual things, just as the sun in the sky elevates, lifts up the flower, lifts its head. May our hearts and our heads, our whole being, be lifted up in the ways and the things of our Redeemer. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening.